This is episode 85 with Kareem Webb and Edward Barnett.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxon.
Welcome, everybody. Today I have with me Kareem Webb and Edward Barnett. Kareem is a 25-year veteran of the restaurant industry, and his current position is co-owner and operations partner of PCW Restaurant Management, a Los Angeles-based franchisee of Buffalo Wild Wings. He uses his expertise to oversee the development and operations for each restaurant. Kareem was exposed to the restaurant business at an early age as a teen, working at one of his parents' 14 McDonald's restaurants. He was trained on all aspects of restaurants operations. Now, Edward Barnett is a 14-year veteran of the financial services industry, and in his current position as Vice President Private Client Group of Newbury Capital Management, which is also Los Angeles-based, he uses his expertise to develop and implement money management strategies for professional athletes and corporate executives and nonprofit organizations. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
So, both of you, obviously, you're based in LA. So, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and why you guys are passionate about community development?
Well, sure. You know, both of us grew up in Southern California. Both of our parents are born and bred in South LA and went to South LA high school. So, we've got close ties to the community. And opening a business in the Crenshaw Corridor, which is kind of the hub of South LA for sure, gave us some exposure and opportunity to make a difference there. And having a business there, our guest base as well as our employees are from primarily the South LA area, and you just get exposed to the needs and the fact that our skill set as well as our business and have the opportunity to make a difference. And so we've used the opportunity of having a business, our skills to engage in ways that where we can bring value both to our business and to entities around the city that are engaged with South LA folks.
Okay. And what about community development? Just really, why is that so important to you guys? In particular,
it's important to me because if it's not us, then who? Right. There's a bit. You have to look at it. We do business in the communities, what we call, I guess, quote unquote, inner city communities. So that is our customer base. And you also want to not just have a situation, which happens frequently, where businesses come in, take, and they don't give back to the community. So we have a different approach. We want to not only do good business in the community, we want to do well for ourselves also, and they're not mutually exclusive. So you have people in the communities that we serve that have higher unemployment and various other issues. So we want to look at it and say, okay, how do we be a part of the solution, not the problem to that? And the major problem you have is lack of opportunities and lack of jobs. And we want to be able to not just, you know, set somebody up for failure, but set them up for success. And how you do that is you have to properly train them for jobs. And then once you get them into those jobs, make sure that you continue to hold high standards. And what we're doing is not just necessarily teaching them restaurant industry jobs. We're teaching them skill sets that are transferable in any industry. So hopefully they'll be able to take these and then move on to bigger, better things and share that information with other people. So what you're doing is making them gainfully employed and productive citizens in the community, and in turn, hopefully that makes the community a better place.
So basically, you know, you raise awareness, give them the opportunity, give them other alternatives to do something positive for the society, and then by that way you're paying forward, and you're also you know, advancing yourself, but also advancing the youth who are the future leaders of the community.
Correct. Also doing something positive for themselves.
Right.
Teaching them skill sets that'll help them with in life, period. Yeah.
Okay. Now, how did you two meet? It seems like you guys have both different backgrounds. I know, Kareem, you've been in the restaurant industry since you could probably owe diapers. But, you know, your finance, Edward, and, you know, both of you seem...
Yes, we've known each other since we were about 7 or 8 years old, playing and living in the same areas, playing in youth leagues together, and always maintained a relationship. And then what happened was after we got out of school, we were always trying to figure out what is a way. We both had entrepreneurial spirits, and what is a way that we can do business together. So probably about 10 years ago, Kareem had an idea with regards to a brand at that time, which is Buffalo Wild Wings, that was around for 20 plus years, but it really was really centered in the Midwest.
Okay.
And so they were coming to the West Coast, and he thought it would be a great idea to be on the ground floor as a franchisee getting these units, because there were, you know, restaurants that maybe had a few TVs, but they really weren't conducive to sports viewing. And there was bars that had pool tables, and they really weren't conducive to families. They were just in adults. So Buffalo Wild Wings was kind of a hybrid of that, where you could have families come in, but also in the same token, you could have your guys and buddies where you necessarily didn't want to be around kids in the same place, and one didn't impede the other. And so he found the concept and the idea, and then we just sat down and figured out a way to take our differing skill sets, bring them together, and partner up on that. And that's how we started PCF Restaurant Management. And then from there, we became Buffalo Wild Wings franchisees, opened up our first unit in Torrance in the September of 2009, and then second one in Baldwin Hills in February of 2011, and the last one in 2014 in Carson. So that's kind of the our story.
All right. You know, I just saw the NWA movie, the Straight Outta Compton, and, you know, and it reminded me, I wasn't really... you know, familiar with that period because I was in Nigeria at the time. But what some of the imagery that was shown there was a lot of the inner city kids, and how sometimes they were looking for opportunities. And it seems like what you guys are doing and providing those type of opportunities. Do you feel like inner city kids, when you were younger, still face the same problems as they do right now?
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, you know, we can point to incidents that have just happened in the last week. We've had, you know, one of our up and coming managers who was at a meeting with us just Saturday, who's going home, you know, with his girlfriend, and was parked and was a victim of a random shooting. So, you know, you still have hopelessness. I think about half of African American boys in South LA graduate high school; the other half don't. 90% of them go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, there's just a tremendous amount of opportunity. There's a tremendous amount of lack in terms of love, you know, that young people receive, and exposure, education, consistency in terms of mentoring. And so, you know, there's hopelessness, and wherever you have hopelessness, and whenever you have young people who don't who aren't experiencing, you know, having good experiences with adults who are consistently guiding them in the right way, you're going to have young people who don't value themselves. And if they don't value themselves, they can't value you or anybody else.
Right.
And that leads to destructive behavior. So that hasn't changed much, if any, since, you know, the 80s when, you know, the events that were taking place, that were depicted in Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's almost like they predicted the future. I know before, but when, you know, when they came out with, you know, F the Police and all that, there was, you know, a few years after that was Rodney King riots. And then, you know, fast forward today, you have a lot of inner city kids who feel, like you said, hopeless, fed up, feel like they're not being heard, and feel like the only alternative is to go through such and such. But one question I have is, you know, what you're doing, you're saying by providing positive role models for these kids to see that there are other ways to, you know, to grow up, and their potential for success, there's a potential path for success. Do you think that parents also can play a role in that? Because sometimes the parents might not, I don't know if the parents are the positive role models. How do you combat that, where you have a community of where they can go and see other positive role models, but then they have to go back home and they have to provide for their brother, sister, family, and, you know, it's like this endless cycle where they want to advance, but they feel like they're being held back in some way.
Yeah, I think the problem is the lack of parenting. So, I mean, you've got, you know, single parent households predominantly, and then also a tremendous number of young people in foster care where there are no parents.
Yes.
So, you know, yes. Black men are missing. And in second generation Hispanic households where men are missing, is they're dead or in prison or just absent. And then you've got, you know, rapid drug use, all kind of other trauma that happens in poor communities around the country, white, black, or otherwise. It just seemed to be a lot of them, obviously, where there's people of color in these urban areas. And there are just outcomes that are predictive when you talk about, you know, poor communities in our country. And then, you know, but there are recipes, and what we're doing is one of the recipes by having conscientious business owners who can relate to the population, hold them accountable, but also let them know that they're worthy. We've seen the light go off in people's eyes, young people's eyes, and we've seen behaviors change for the good and then begin to have hope for themselves and see, you know, have see possibilities for themselves that they otherwise wouldn't have seen, which leads them to have the ability to be consistent in doing positive things so that they can begin to start getting positive results. That is one of the, that as a business person, that's what we can do consistently. And we can advocate for policy that, you know, takes so that we're not spending so much money on prisons and, you know, the mandatory sentencing and all of that versus, you know, other community in organizations that we see on the ground that actually work. But it takes a lot of effort. You know, people need consistency in their lives in order to begin to have hope, begin to feel love, begin to feel like there's a reason to do the right thing. So we're part of the solution, and we need more folks like us, and that's why we're consistently talking about doing the things that we need to do in order to grow so we can provide additional opportunities. But I think in general that hopefully answers your question.
No, I love it, and I think it's you know, it's a lot of times these problems are not as black and white as people would like them to you know to be, but it's a process, and it has to, like you said, be consistent. And then a lot of times the youth want to see people in leadership that look like them. You know, they want a representation of, you know, sometimes it goes over the head and they see, well, I can't be like that because I can't see myself in that way. So, like, what you were saying is if someone can look up to you and say you relate to their environment, and then they can see a clear path if they stay consistent with doing the hard work.
And we're not afraid of them.
Yeah, so, that's true, too.
When you're culturally competent, yeah, you have the ability to go to somebody and say, yeah, okay, well, your past doesn't matter. I get it. But that's not gonna, you know, that's not gonna make me allow you not to be excellent in my business.
Right.
But
right.
Then let me tell you what that means for you. If you're excellent here, you can be excellent everywhere. And when you're excellent, this is what you get.
Exactly.
Right. And this is what your life can become. And so a lot of young people have not experienced that. They don't experience it in school. Their teachers are not presenting them with that alternative. And their families and their, you know, the surroundings that they're in on a day in and day out basis don't present them with that. So somebody has got to, or they're going to end up with really, really bad outcomes that end up costing the taxpayer more. So, you know, it's a benefit to turn these young people around because, you know, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to imprison these young people. And we, the taxpayer, pay for that. So
absolutely,
in addition to the moral hazard, you know, it's an unsustainable model for us as taxpayers moving forward.
No, I agree. And I grew up constantly among cultures, and one of the things that I, you know, because growing up in five countries, four continents, one of the things I started to realize that in order to build the next set of true global leaders, one has to learn how to communicate across cultures and think outside the box. And that's, you know, being able to go into a multicultural environment and be able to not, like you said, be afraid of some sort of cultural event because you have to, you lack the competency. You have to be able to understand kind of the background that they go through, why this is happening, and then talk to them in their language so that they can actually, you know, so that you guys can actually find that common ground. And one of those common grounds a lot of times is sports. I know, Edward, you're very into sports. I'm very into sports. But you, do you use sporting events, like even with the bars or events or athletes you talk to draw some of the youth together and bring them up?
Very little. And the reason being is that the sports are a way to do it, but it's just not, I don't think it's the best way. And the reason being is, you be frank with you, really don't want the kids looking up to people from the sports industry. And I'm not saying that as a bad way, but the reality is they have a better chance being a neurosurgeon than it is being a professional athlete. And not to knock their dreams of that, but it's probably like a 1,000th of 1% chance for them to be a professional athlete. But you have a whole lot better chance of getting a solid education, figuring out a good job, and then going on to an entrepreneurial venture. It's a lot more. So they already get enough exposure, whether it's through television or social media, to athletes and entertainers. We're trying to look at it a little bit different standpoint. We want to get them to everyday business people that had a goal, had a vision, put in the work and did the work, and here's what you can do it too. Sports is a pipe dream, to be frank with you. And there's using the NBA, for example, there's 450 people to have a job in the NBA. Then you say, how many African-American youth do we have in the United States or even in L.A. County, period? So what are the odds of them making it to the NBA? And if they don't make it, what skills do they have that are equipped to do another job or have a plan B or have a career? So you can use it, but that's not the lead for that. Because you don't want to provide a false sense of reality.
So even what about sports as a community development? Not necessarily training them to be pros, but, you know, sporting events.
You can use it as a tool to get people engaged, but again, you want to be careful with that. You can use it from a way to, you can use sports as a lot of these kids are playing video games, they're in the house all the time, they're not getting a lot of exercise, they're not eating right, overweight. So you can use sports as a way to get kids out to do healthy things, to exercise, to do that. So when you're looking at kids, there's a lot more important things that are going on in sports right now that we have a lot more serious issues. So sports is kind of the least of our concerns, in my opinion.
Okay. Would you lump in pop music and hip-hop and R&B into that as well?
Athletics and entertainment, yeah.
Yeah, athletics and entertainment.
That's all they've been trained to grow up and think. How do I get out of my situation, be an athlete or entertainer? I think that's a bad way to think about it.
Bad money.
I mean, it's not their fault. But we want to change the dynamics. Is don't be the athlete. Be the one who owns a team who cuts the checks to the athlete. Don't be the entertainer. Be the person who runs the record label or runs the studio label who cuts the checks to it. That's where your longevity is. You know, even if you do make it to a professional athlete's average career is 5 years. So now you're in your mid-20s, late-20s, and you still have 40 to 50-odd years of living left to go. So what is your second career going to be? And so many of our athletes don't know that. So again, we're trying to do things a little bit different from that standpoint.
Okay, no, it's good. It's admirable. Kareem, as an advisor of the Multicultural Food Service and Hospitality Alliance, what is your role? What's your role there, and why are you passionate about that?
You know, I'm passionate about our industry making a difference in for underserved youth. You know, entry-level employers have the ability to make a difference if we're conscientious about the people. So, you know, a lot of times when people think about our industry or think about the food industry, you think What are their minimum wage employers? They're abusive to employees. They underpay people. They don't serve healthy food. It's a lot of negative. But, you know, you can talk to a lot of people who will tell you their first job is at McDonald's. And then they'll start telling you what they learned about showing up to work on time, about resolving conflict in positive ways, about following procedures, about executing, right, about learning how to work. And that's something that, we have the ability to do. We have the ability to change lives because we can interact with young people who haven't been taught the right way to interact with folks, you know. If we're intentional about that, I think society in general will be approving and grateful for our contribution. But we don't talk about it. We don't promote the fact that we do that. We give a great benefit to society in that way. And so I talk a lot to folks, leaders within our industry about that, and that's my role at the MFHA.
No, love it, love it. With we're almost done here, but with you, Edward, I know your financial literacy is something that's very important to you, and I also think it's very important. When you're talking to the youth about the importance of being financially literate, how early do you tell them to start?
You can never start too early. I mean, I would start it as early as middle school. One of the problems that we have in the United States in our educational system is there is, and that's and even in college, there is no basic financial literacy class that you have to take to graduate from high school, which I think is a travesty. I mean, you take math, you take chemistry, you take trigonometry, and you take all these kind of pretty complex mathematics, then unless you're going in specific industries you'll never use, but you don't give people the basic skills to know how to manage the money with regardless of what industry they work in, which it creates a problem because especially in the African-American community, we've never had a problem, whether, again, going through athletics, entertainment, entrepreneurship, we never really had a problem earning money. We always had a problem keeping money. And we also had a problem figuring out how that money works for us. So the principles are the same in financial literacy. It's just how many zeros are after the checks that you get or the numbers that you're dealing with. Yeah. And what I mean by that is, you know, you want to spend less than you make. You want to put some aside consistently and plan, you know, live for the day, but plan for the future. You want to make sure, you know, you understand how credit works. You understand how important it is. You want just all these different things that we can go on and on. And it's not that we're not intelligent. We've just never been educated on it. And I think that it should be a basic class along with English and history in high school that you should have a basic financial literacy class to send instead of kind of sending kids out to the wolves.
No, absolutely. I mean, to go back to the athlete point, you see sometimes athletes and entertainers where, you know, once you start to make the money, you start to see them getting, you know, into the lifestyle, and then the money goes. I don't know if Mayweather is probably not broke now, but at the pace that he does sometimes, the way he spends some of his money, you know, these are not, I guess, good examples of financial literacy, but, you know, these are ways that when you were talking about spending more than you have, those are some of the imageries that I was thinking of where people, like, you know, you're spending $100,000 on the same type of cars and just betting on the first quarter of games when you don't need to, stuff like that.
As great as a boxer and an athlete he is, and I don't know him personally, but from person he is, that's not the issue. The issue is he's, a very poor example that our people should be looking at on how to use your money. I mean, he's probably the opposite of what you really want.
Exactly.
But those are the images that you see, and so that's how they're learning, this is how I should be when I get any kind of money.
Yeah.
And that's the issue and the problem that creates where again, he has a kind of a quote-unquote short lifespan, especially with boxing. I mean, 10 years from now, we're not going to be talking about Mayweather being in the ring, hopefully. He would probably be dangerous. But then, unfortunately, you see that a lot because, again, they don't have any other employable skill sets. They run out of money, and they have to go back to doing what they know best how to do, which, one, can be dangerous, and, two, because of the amount of money that he's come through, there's no reason in the world his grandkids, grandkids should ever want for money. But again, without financial literacy and basic principles, you can always see what path he's going down and
yeah.
being arrested for assassin.
Yeah. Absolutely. Your conversation's a legend, with a legend, rather. What's that series about? You just talk to legends in the L.A. area, or what?
Yes, I'm on the board of something called the Advocates Pro Tour. Avid golfer, and I enjoy golf, and golf is one of the few sports that we pretty much digressed as it comes to people of color. With you have, you know, less people on the PGA Tour today of color than you had 30 years ago, and so what it is what we're trying to do is make golf be look more indicative of society as a whole. And so the Conversation of Legend is a 4-part series as a fundraiser. One, so what we try to do is find legendary figures in the sports arena that have a passion for golf and also have a passion for the community and making a difference in the community. So that's what it's built out from a fundraiser. And then the Advocates Pro Tour, the mission is to basically get more people of color and provide them opportunities to level the playing field so they can go and play, the ones at a high level have an opportunity to play professional golf. And then also, too, more importantly, get African-Americans and people of color jobs in the golf industry, whether it be working at country clubs, whether it be working at golf manufacturers, whether it be working for golf design companies. What we're trying to do, as we're doing with everything, is giving people of color an opportunity where no opportunity currently exists.
Yeah, okay. Now, Kareem, as the spokesperson for Bloom, you work with the L.A. County Probation Department, is that correct?
Yeah, Bloom is an initiative of the California Community Foundation, which is the second largest philanthropic foundation in California. It's very prominent here. It's been in existence for 100 years. It has an initiative called Bloom, which stands for Building Lives of Opportunity and Option for Men. So it focuses on African-American boys in South L.A., 14 to 18, who have had a brush with the probation department. So our goal is to prevent them from recidivism and ending up in prison long term. Specifically, our goal is to get them to graduate from high school and find job placement. And so we work with, you know, young people as soon as they are placed on probation. Almost all the high schools in South LA actually have probation departments in the high school and probation officers that are at the high school. So sometimes our young people get put on probation for things they wouldn't in other jurisdictions, like truancy. And so we get them, that there's a reason why they're put on probation, and then they end up working with one of the nonprofits that California Community Foundation and Bloom augments or supplements their operating budget. And so, you know, I'm involved in that.
Okay. All right. Well, before we go, I always ask my guest this question. I'm going to give you guys both a chance to tell the world where we can find out more about you. But the question I ask the guest is how they use their difference to make a difference. That's the mission statement of what UID is. So, I mean, I could start with you, Kareem. How do you use your difference to make a difference? And then we can go to you, Edward.
I use my difference to make a difference. Really with my time and my management skills. So whether it's my role at Bloom or as the chairman at Los Angeles Southwest College Foundation, which is a community college in L.A., is to really use the skills that I've attained over the years in the restaurant industry and developing people to try to build consensus to make a difference for young people through those organizations.
Okay. What about you, sir, Edward?
I use my difference to make a difference by providing young people, specifically people of color, a practical game plan on how to change their current plight based on what they want to do from a career standpoint, and giving them the actual strategy on how to get from A to B and where they want to go from a business standpoint, and hopefully taking that and they can use that and improve their life in the current situation that they have, and giving them hope and giving them opportunity and giving them vision to see something bigger for themselves than they currently probably see.
Okay, love it. So where can we find out more about what both of you are doing? I know both of you do, sounds like you do a lot of things, but both obviously you've combined to create these organizations. So where can we find out more about what you're doing? How can we support? What can we do?
We have our website, lawildwings.com, that we have all the contact information, and you can reach us through there.
Yeah, and then, social media. So I'm on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and all that stuff. So I'm pretty easy to reach, and my social media stuff stays pretty updated in terms of the stuff that I've got going on in and around L.A.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my Instagram, all of that is just Kareem Webb.
Kareem Webb. All right, cool. Well, I'll be sure to put all these out there and make sure we can get the word. I want to commend you gentlemen for raising awareness on issues that need to be brought to the light, and also basically celebrating diversity. So I appreciate that.
All right, Tao. Thanks, man.
Thanks for your time.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uidmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.